The theme for the sermon is Christ or Barabbas. Christ or Barabbas. 3 points. First point, the weakness of the wicked. Second point, the prevalence of the priests. And the third point, the charity of Christ. So the theme is Christ or Barabbas. 3 points, the weakness of the wicked, the prevalence of the priests, and the charity of Christ. Congregation, this life is full of choices, isn't it? Children, young people, we all know this. So many choices we make every day. You could say every moment. When you rise in the morning, you make a choice. Which clothes you wear, what you're going to do first, what you're going to eat, where you would go. So many choices we make all the time. And many choices we think, well, it doesn't make a big difference, and that's true. So many things are not that important if we make this choice or that choice. There are choices that make a big difference. Our choices we make that we regret for years. Maybe we regret for a lifetime. That one moment that we didn't think like we should have thought, and we didn't see what we could or should have seen. We make a choice and we cry about it for years. So many tears. We regret it, but we cannot change it anymore. We made a choice. Yeah, there is even a choice, and we all know that. That is most important. That is about eternity. That is about what our eternal destination will be. The choice of the heart. You might say, well, that's a choice worked by the Lord. If it is the right choice, that is true, but still it's a choice, isn't it? And so we have to seek that right choice in our hearts. Why do we make so many choices that are wrong, that we should have done different in so many situations in this life? What is the reason? Can we try to understand it? This night we have read about a choice that was made by the people between Christ and Barabbas. And they made the wrong choice. Why do we make... Yeah, we are inclined maybe to watch the situation, to see it, and I think this is awful, and that's right. But we might also be ready to... We might be inclined to condemn these people easily and to think, I would not have done that. Is that true? Are we different? What is the reason of all those wrong choices in life? Well, you know the answer, isn't it? The reason is sin in our hearts. Sin, that we have fallen in sin and our heart is corrupt. So it is a heart problem. And that wrong choices we make has to do with that we put ourselves in the center. That we think first about ourselves. We can see that all the time. If you would hand out candies to children, to young people, or even to adults, sure. And then some are bigger, some are smaller. You're the first opportunity to pick one. What would you take? Well, people take the big one because they think about themselves. But what about your neighbor? He might like it as well. Maybe he deserves it more. No, you don't think that way usually, isn't it? Think about yourself. I want to have it. I want to have the best. I want to be the first. Well, that's sin in our lives. that we do not wonder what is the will of God and what is best for my neighbor, but we think about self. And so we cause so much trouble and misery in this world and in this life, in our lives, isn't it? Wasn't that the problem? Wasn't that the trouble in this history, that Pilate was thinking about himself? And that the Jews, the leaders, were thinking about themselves and not about the will of God, and had no compassion like they should in their hearts for their neighbor. We see the situation before us. Early in the morning, they come with the Lord Jesus. And they say that the Roman governors, and Pilate is a Roman governor, they had a use to have court early in the morning. So they came, and that worked out well, early in the morning, and they brought the Lord Jesus bound. They carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. They just did with him as if they could do what they wanted with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself. And they carried him away and they delivered him to Pilate. So there they are, standing before Pilate. Pilate is coming out. They don't want to get in. Oh no, they are afraid that they couldn't eat Passover. What? Eat Passover? That happened yesterday night. Well, maybe there are two ways to understand and explain this. Maybe they use this term to eat Passover for the whole feast, which lasted more days. Although the actual eating had already happened of the Passover lamb. Or they just didn't find time to do it. They were so busy, they were so occupied to go to the garden, to catch the Lord Jesus, to make the plans, and to sit, to have kind of a court case, and now to bring him to Pilate. They delayed it. They wanted to do this first. However, they do not enter the house of Pilate because they are afraid that they would be defiled and so couldn't eat the Passover. So Pilate comes out, and there they stand before him. And they want the Lord Jesus to be condemned. And this morning we read from John, and that Pilate says, well, take you him. You take him, and you will have this court case. You decide about it. But they say, no, we are not allowed to do this, to put someone to death. It was not in their power under the Roman Empire in this situation. And so it might be that Pilate was not aware that they really had decided this man has to die. So now he knows. And Pilate is asking questions. Art thou the King of the Jews? And then while Pilate is talking with the Lord Jesus, it became clear to him he's not a criminal. He's not a dangerous person. He's not causing an uprising or something. So he tried to avoid to make a decision. He had sent him to Herod. Maybe Herod can solve this problem for me. But then the Lord Jesus came back. Then he tried another way to avoid the decision. But the Jews insist that he has to condemn the Lord Jesus and sentence him to death. He has to die. They accused him of many things. And there we see the Lord Jesus standing bound. And he answered not. Here is Christ, the second Adam. We remember the first Adam in paradise when the Lord came after Adam and Eve fell in sin, willingly. And he confronted them, asked them, what have you done? And they excused themselves. They tried to escape the responsibility of this sin of rebellion against God. But here is this second Adam. He is not excusing himself, although he could. He could witness about his innocency, but he does not. No, he's dumb like a sheep brought to the shearers. The prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. The Lord Jesus willingly taking the guilt upon himself, willing to be condemned, to be the substitute for his people, to take the punishment and the curse. Amazing love. And so Pilate doesn't understand it. He cannot understand why the Lord Jesus is not entering. He marveled. And then Pilate thinks, oh, how can I escape from this situation? He didn't feel like he should sentence this innocent man. His first intention was to make the right judgment. But the Jews insisted that he has to die. And so now here's a test, you could say. What kind of a person is Pilate? This Roman governor, well, we can simply say he was like the average rulers in those days. He was cruel. He didn't bother so much about the lives of other people. You read about that he had people killed in terrible situations, in terrible ways. He was cruel. He was worldly. He lived for power and glory and position of this world. He was selfish. Very careful about himself, his own security and position. We do not have any reason to think that he was a person with principles or religion. No, we see the opposite here. Yeah, and usually those people have some superstition. His wife sent him a message that she had dreamed about this man and that he shouldn't have to do with this man. He tried to escape from making a decision here to sentence this man to death. So he can do it. He has the power. He is in the position. He can make the right judgment. Make the right decision. It's so strange that you hear a judge ask the accusers, what do you want me to do? You have to make the decision. You are appointed to judge. You are responsible in this situation. So release this man. Release the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the right thing to do. And you know it. Why would you not do it? There you have the question again. Why do people make all these wrong decisions that they will have to regret afterwards? Well, the answer here is Pilate is weak. We see here the weakness of the wicked. Those that live a wicked life, they are so weak. What is the reason? Can we try to understand that better? If you live a wicked life, if you live in evil, there's such a weakness. It makes you so weak. There's no real strength. And you have to make the right decision. You almost always cannot do it. Oh, one of the things that has to do with his weakness is his evil conscience. He had things in his life, so many things that he did wrong. He has an evil conscience. So when the people say, if you release him, then you are not a friend of Caesar. In other words, well, we will accuse you against you. We will accuse against you to Caesar. And that was the end for him. He was floored when they would say that. So an evil conscience is a reason why Pilate is so weak. And the fear of earthly loss, the wicked has everything in this world. Everything he owns on earth, that is everything. He has nothing more. So there's a deep fear to lose the things of this world, the things on earth. An evil conscience, fear for loss, the loss of his position, maybe even his freedom or his life. And the third thing we can say is no fixed belief or principles. Now, this judge is not acting, not deciding according to principles, but according to a policy. How can he deal with the situation so that it will end in a way that is good for himself? He has no principles, no firm belief. So there's no resistance at all. What direction the wind is blowing, that's the direction he will go. He will not stand firm. He's unable to do it. What a miserable man he is. It seems he's a glorious man. He has made it in this world. But he's a miserable man. What a fear. What an uncertainty. What a misery in the life and the heart of this man. So there are some lessons we learn immediately in this history, isn't it? When we see Pilate there, and the Lord Jesus standing before him, and the people there, the people and the leaders demanding that Christ has to die, should be crucified. The first lesson we can say is, it's not easy to be great in this world. It's not easy to have an important position, a high position in this world. Might be that you are young people here tonight and young person and you think, I want to be great in this world. But scripture says, are you seeking great things? Don't do it, Jeremiah. Don't do it. It's not easy at all. What a slippery path it is for Pilate. What a temptations there are. What a fear he has to keep his glory, his power, his position in his world. Is it wrong to have a high position? Is it wrong to have an important position in his world? No, it's not wrong at all. It's good. If the Lord is giving you such a position, use it for his kingdom, for his glory, for his name, for the benefit of your neighbors. If you think it's an easy thing, and if you try to seek it for yourself, watch out. It's not easy at all. And if you seek it for yourself, you're in great danger. Such temptation, like we see here in the life of Pilate. And he had no strength. Oh, you need principles. You need to stand firm in the word of God. You need to know the Lord. You need to know the Savior. You need to know Christ, especially when you have an important position in this life. Otherwise, you will fall. You will end up in a very miserable way, like Pilate did. He was willing to contend the people. And so the people could just play with him. Just do with him what they wanted to do. And so that's what happens. He gave the Lord Jesus over to be crucified. So another lesson is, see what the weakness is of the wicked and what it is causing in this world. What it caused to Christ. how he is standing there, accused and condemned, although being innocent, and he is scourged, whipped in a horrible way, and then they take him to be crucified. Yeah, Pilate tried to escape. He tried to escape. He thought, wait a minute, there might be a way that I can avoid to make a decision. It says in verse 6, now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. It's not totally clear why they did it. It was a habit, tradition, you could say. Some commentaries say it might be because on the feast of Easter, it was a feast to remember that the people were delivered from Egypt. So then a prisoner was set free as a wonderful sign of how the people was set free out of the prison of Egypt. We're not totally sure about that, but it is sure that they had this tradition. So Pilate is going to try to use this. He's giving the people a choice. And then you'll see the preference of the priests. So here he has a prisoner, Barabbas. And this man lay bound in prison because he had made an insurrection, you could say an uprising, rebellion. He was involved in that. And he had committed murder in the insurrection. And this morning it says Barabbas was a robber, so he was a murderer. And Pilate thinks, okay, let me take this man. He's a dangerous man. And then give them the choice. So he's bringing Barabbas, and he's putting Barabbas and the Lord Jesus before the people. And now they can make the choice. One of the two will be released, will be set free. And it would not make any sense that they would ask a murderer to be released. A man who is a danger for the lives of others. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is not dangerous for the lives of others. He did only good in his whole life. So this must be an easy choice. And Pilate thinks, now I made it. I escaped. I don't have to make this wrong decision of sentencing an innocent man to death. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. And Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. There's something. This Gentile knows, here the leaders of the people have delivered this innocent man just for envy, for jealousy, for revenge. There's not a real reason. So now he hopes that a sound mind will be seen in making the right choice. But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. The chief priests moved the people. Of course, they are the leaders, and leaders move the people. Isn't that true? Leaders have such a responsible position. They have an influence among the people, more probably than they might be aware of many times. And those chief priests, they have an influence, they can move the people, and they are called to move the people, but they are called to move the people in what direction? Toward the Lord, to serve the Lord, to do what is right. You could say, toward Christ. The perfect sacrifice, a priest called to sacrifice, as a sermon about that great sacrifice of Christ. They have the position, they have received the office, they have the authority, they have the power to move the people. That's something amazing, isn't it? Authority. It's a wonderful thing. Parents have authority in their family. A teacher has authority at school. A governor has authority in a state. A president has authority in a nation. And there are more situations. You have authority in your business, in your company. You have a position that you can move people. In the offices, in the church, you have authority. You have a position that you can influence people. And so those priests, they have authority. They are called by God. They are given an office. Oh, let's think about it. In the position you are, that you are standing before God, you are accountable before God. What you do with your position, the words you speak, move your children in a certain direction, isn't it? The words you speak move students in a certain direction. We have to be aware of that. They watch us. The words we speak as office bearers in the church, they have an influence in the lives of people. Yeah. And one day, we all, you and I, we will all stand before the Lord. And then we will have to answer about what we did in the position we received from God. And that's true of Pilate. That's true of those chief priests. And they use their influence. They move the people. But a chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. They move the people in a way that they choose against Christ. That they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be crucified. But how is this possible? Yeah, this is what happens. What words can do. There they went, the priests, among the people, talking to everybody as much as they could. Well, you have to choose Barabbas and not Jesus. And they influenced the people and they succeeded. It's so strange. It's. Can you understand that? A few days before, they shouted, "Hosanna! Hosanna, the Son of David!" And here they are. Crucify him! Crucify him! What did he want? Crucify him! And a big part of why this happens is in this verse. The chief priests moved the people. It's such a power in words. It's such a responsibility to speak words, isn't it? Oh, that's why there's a psalm who's praying that the Lord will put a guard before my mouth. But also that we pray that the Holy Spirit will direct us in speaking, isn't it? And isn't that true of everybody of us? You might have friends at school, fellow students. You influence them in one or other direction. And the example you give, the things you speak, the plans you make, they have an influence among your friends. Oh, I've such a desire and hope and in my heart, and I pray that you young people will influence for the glory of God. That your friends will see that you love the Lord and that you want to serve the Lord. It's so important. It makes such a difference in a church, in school, in society. I know you cannot do that by yourself. You have to be aware of that. But the Lord is providing. If you cry to Him, and one day you and I, we all will stand before God. And all those situations that we influenced people, that we moved people, then we will have to answer. Oh, I know we need the blood of Christ to cover our many sins. The many times as parent or in the offices or in so many situations that I did not move people like I should. That I moved them not with all the zeal of my heart, or even moved in a wrong direction. Didn't think, made a wrong decision, gave a wrong example. Oh Lord, be merciful unto me. You need that. We need forgiveness. We need grace. We need the blood of Christ. How good it is to be aware of it. You say it's too late. My family has grown up. I'm older now. Oh, it's not too late. You can still fold your hands. You can still cry out to God for mercy for your children, that they may be moved where you might not be able to reach them with your words anymore, that they may be moved by the prayers or the power there is in prayer. And how was it this morning? Was there a bearing of witness unto the truth in attending the Lord's Supper, confessing I am a poor and helpless sinner in myself? But you came and giving a testimony that your only hope is in the sacrifice of Christ. And that has an influence, isn't it? That is also moving people. When they see this, or maybe you say, I couldn't. How sad it is. How sad it is. The Lord is so worthy that people would be moved to watch the preciousness of the sacrifice of Christ. Oh, but I couldn't. It's so impossible. I don't know that forgiveness of my sins. I see what you say. And it is right. We cannot attend the Lord's Supper without true faith. But oh, is there not a hearing God in heaven who is applying this work of His Son to lives and of people? Remember the publican, how he came to the temple and cried, "Be merciful unto me, a sinner." And what happened? He went home justified. Would that be impossible for you? Certainly not. There is power in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you out of your sin and misery, O sinner. You know that. Do you believe that? You've heard it many times. Oh, that you would not delay. That you may have that freedom in your soul, when the table of the Lord will be here again to witness about the preciousness of Christ, so that people might be moved also by this testimony that you by the grace of God may give. Oh, the chief priests moved the people that they would choose Barabbas instead of Jesus. How sad. How dark it is in those days. These are the pastors. Why would they do this? Why do they have this preference? Why do they prefer? Why do they make this choice? Barabbas would be released. Well, the answer you know already. It is sin. Sin. Sin in the lives of the chief priests, those that had the knowledge of the law and the word, those that were so privileged, those that were called in the office. Yes. The answer is sin. Putting self in the center. Being concerned about your own position. It was envy. It was jealousy. It was self-love. It was pride that they wanted to get rid of Jesus. Here, chief priest, here's your last chance. Oh, you have done so wrong that you have taken Jesus and carried him away, that you have taken him captive in the garden and brought him to Pilate, to Herod. But now here's another chance. Pilate has given you a choice. Here's your last chance, you might say, to turn this evil, to turn away from it. But they don't. What a lesson that is. If you start to walk in the way of evil, oh, our heart is hardening in it. And it is such a miracle if we turn away. We're so inclined to continue in the way we have chosen. And they've chosen to get rid of the Lord Jesus. And they continue in it. But I'm not saying this. I'm saying this to warn you that you would avoid the ways of evil. I'm not saying it to discourage you as if it was not possible. We have so many examples in Scripture that people, by the grace of God, repented about their evil and were forgiven and saved out of their sins. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 164, stanza 1 through 4. 164, stanza 1, Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. 164, all stanzas. Thank you. congregation in this situation, in this picture here, the Lord Jesus standing there next to Barabbas, we see his amazing love, the charity of Christ, that he was willing to stand there as a criminal and then to be rejected. They choose this criminal, this murderer, Barabbas. Barabbas means son of the father. Maybe his father was a rabbi or a leader, and in the Bible many times they call a rabbi or a leader a father, son of the father. And this son was fallen in a way of sin and ended up to be a murderer. Or maybe he has this name because he called himself son of the father, as kind of a messiah, someone who would bring salvation, deliverance, who would deliver the people, but then in a totally different way, with violence, with an insurrection, an uprising, rebellion, and even shedding blood. Barabbas, the son of the father, next to the son of the father, of the heavenly father, Jesus Christ, the son of God, the self-made messiah, and the one sent by the father, the one who went down in darkness of sin and criminality and murder, and the one who came down in darkness to bring righteousness in this world. There they stand next to each other, and now the people, they have to choose, who do you want? What is the choice? What is your choice? What is the choice of your heart? It's one of the two. The self-made salvation, or sent by God. It's one of the two. There's no way in between. We try to help ourselves, or we acknowledge, we confess that we need to be helped. And the people have to make the choice. And they are moved by the chief priest, and they choose Barabbas. Of course, that is the natural choice of our heart because of sin. I want my own way. I want salvation by the power of this world, by my own power, my own work, what I have in my own hands. That's what we choose. And they reject the Lord Jesus. They want him to be crucified. They want to get rid of him. Take away, crucify him. What a horrible thing to hear this choice, to see this situation. And at the same time, it is such an amazing, powerful illustration of God's way of salvation. Barabbas deserved to die. He's a murderer. He's a criminal. He has sinned. And the Lord Jesus is innocent. He deserves to be released. Pilate is scourging him. And maybe that was a last try of Pilate. Maybe he could cause the people to compassion. So they scourge him, which means they have a whip, like a short rod and with ropes, and the end of the ropes are pieces of copper or iron or steel or sharp pieces of bone, and so they They whipped people on their backs while the people were bent, and then the sharp pieces of bone or iron, they were tearing open the back of people, like plowing it. The blood came out. It was a most painful thing. Maybe the people would be moved to compassion. So that's what they do to the Lord Jesus. There he is standing, his back full with bruises and stripes. And look his face. No anger, no wrath, no frustration, but love and meekness. Even when he was nailed to the cross, he prayed. Oh, the charity of Christ is something we can never comprehend. But see it tonight. Behold the Lord Jesus Christ, how he is giving himself as a sheep before a shearer is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. And they choose Barabbas. And so Barabbas is released. He is set free. And Christ is bound, bruised, wounded. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And with his stripes, you see his stripes. With his stripes, we are healed. This is a powerful, most powerful painting of God's way of salvation. Christ the innocent taking the punishment, and those that are guilty and should be condemned, they are released. This criminal is set free, and Christ is taken to the cross to die, to be punished. This is a painting of that wonderful exchange, that my sin, I'm like Barabbas. I deserve to be condemned. I have to admit, to agree about the condemnation of Scripture over my sins. I deserve to be under the curse of God, the pain of hell, to be forsaken by God. But Christ is taking it upon himself. And so he is led away to be in darkness, to be forsaken, to be cursed, so that I could be blessed. This is the way of salvation designed by God, that Christ would be the substitute in place of those, in position of those that deserve to be punished. It is the justification of the ungodly. That you, well, you get to see your sins. That you confess before the Lord, oh Lord, I'm guilty. I'm not worthy that thou would accept me. I deserve to be rejected and to perish for eternity. But that you receive the word of God in your heart, that Christ took your punishment, and that by faith you embrace it, O Lord, O God, what a wonder that I am set free. So, brothers, he was released, and I am released from all that burden of sin and guilt and punishment and condemnation and curse and hell. And Christ, there he goes. He takes it. He is nailed to the cross, and he died in darkness, forsaken by his Father, hanging there in the pain of hell. This is God's way. And what is your choice? Is there in your heart a choice of faith? Yes, worked by the Spirit, that you will be saved in God's way. Or to say it in other words, are you satisfied with the Lamb of God that God has provided? Or do you choose, like the people here, Barabbas, and that Christ, that they wanted to get rid of Christ? It's one of the two. How many choices do you make? And isn't it always this choice between self or Christ? Also, in the life of gratitude, also after receiving the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, after we have seen this miracle of justification by faith, and then this new week we make so many choices, and one of the two, Christ or Barabbas, we follow his footsteps, or we choose for self, for our position and our way of security and salvation. But that leads to eternal destruction. And the way which is Christ leads to eternal glory. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we come before thee. It's one of the two. It's the self-made Messiah, or it is the Messiah sent by God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we have chosen. That's a choice of our hearts. We have chosen for Barabbas. We are in no way different from the people of the Jews and the chief priests. That is our natural heart. We have chosen against thee in paradise. And Lord, that's how we are born. But what a miracle that there is the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit working through the proclamation of the word, working a new choice in our hearts, Christ. O Lord, we pray that thou would bless thy word, and that many will come to see in Christ their salvation. No, not self-made, but provided by God, the salvation from heaven, according to the plan and counsel of God, according to his eternal purpose, that in Christ is provided a full payment for sin, a sufficient righteousness for sinners. Lord, that we may rest our soul on this rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we will be free. We will be delivered, Lord, out of misery, and enter his glory to be with him. We pray, Lord, that thou would be with us when we go from this place, when we go home, that thou would keep us, protect us. Bless also in the gathering of the youth group, Lord, for the souls of the young people and for the glory of thy name. Keep us from sin in this new week and from all dangers, Lord, and that we may walk with thee, O Lord Jesus Christ. Help us. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.